As we begin this morning, I've been asking the Lord just to show me exactly how to start this morning. Over the last several hours in the past week, I have wrestled over how to speak and how to share what's all over my heart. And I have found myself even wrestling with God, trying to speak things correctly, making sure that every little word and every little nuance is perfectly correct. And I found myself trying to be, and I did say the word trying to make sure that everything that's said is perfect. Let me tell you, the Lord broke me and just told me to share my heart, to share my heart with each of you. And so if you don't want your pastor to cry, then this is not the day to be here. You know, I shared two Wednesday nights ago that when I was 21 years old, on my 21st birthday, June 19th, I had the incredible opportunity to sit down with three young men and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all three of them came to faith and trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I shared with you that night at Kanakuk Camps that we went over and we rang a bell that goes across the whole campus, and the place just began to just erupt in cheers. And we saw just a mighty movement of God as the bell began to ring over and over that night, just continually ringing, signifying that dead, lost souls were coming to life in Christ. And I asked the Lord as I read the book of Acts just over again, just in the last few weeks, I said, God, what is going on? When I was 21 years old, there was nothing holding me back. There was nothing that would stop me. I would share with everybody I came in contact with about Jesus. And the Lord just began to put on my heart, David, you've become comfortable. David, you've just been able to just sit back and just continue forward. And God said, David, it's time for you to be comfortable in being uncomfortable. It's time for the church to say, listen, we're going to go forth and we're going to take the gospel no matter the cost. Is that not what God called us to? And I fell on my face and I just repented for my comfort. I repented before God and I said, Lord, may I not hold back anymore. I want you to know, as a body of Christ, I love you dearly. And the Lord has placed on my heart, as we saw Wednesday night, just an overwhelming movement of God, that we cannot stand still. That we must continue to take the gospel to the city of Mobile and to the nation. I told the Lord, I want that zeal and that passion that I had when I was 21 years old. Some of you may be sitting in here saying, David, I see zeal and passion on you. I understand that, but I'm telling you, I long for it even the more. I asked the church, I said, who have you shared the gospel with this past week? And I said that's going to be my question. I ask you to ask me that question. And that I would in turn ask you. As I just began to cry out to God all the way till 2 o'clock this morning, I said, Lord, if there's anything in my life, and here's what the Lord spoke to me. We saw the cusp of revival last Wednesday night. If you were here, you know what I'm talking about. Testimonies of people who accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and the transformation in their life. Brokenness was laid out before God and before the congregation. And as I began to pray, I said, Lord, we were so on the cusp. I felt like I just needed to do something to make us go over the edge. And God broke me in the night last night and said, David, you cannot take it over the edge. Only I can. And God said, David, all you can do is fall on your face before the holiness of God. And so I want to ask you this morning, as I talked with Ms. Jo Malpas, and she shared, told me that I could share this with you, she said something changed Wednesday night in her heart. As she shared before the congregation, she told me just coming in, she said, David, I can't not tell anybody. I'm telling everybody about Jesus. As I talked with a brother in Christ about how they had the opportunity to continue to share the gospel, and they were just overwhelmed, just wanting to share that. A sister in Christ shared with me how when she left Wednesday night, she was compelled to go forth and to call one of her family members and to share the gospel and to pray with that person. And that following Sunday, somebody invited them to church and they went. See, God is moving. And the question is will we fall on our face in the holiness of who God is and say, God, move? Is there anything in our lives? Is there pride in our life? Is there comfort in our life? Is there selfishness in our life? Is there anything in our life that is preventing the movement, the power of the Lord going forth? Nothing can stop God's power. Nothing. But is there anything in our life that we are not laying down before holy God? I'm telling you, as your associate pastor, God broke me of being comfortable. He absolutely broke me of being comfortable. I have wept all morning long before I come before you. In the book of Acts, we see Paul before Agrippa in Acts 26. And I'm just going to share this with you. You can see this on the screen. We see Paul share his testimony of what's taken place in his life in Acts chapter 26. And it's a powerful moment here. Because Paul realizes that he once was lost too. In the scriptures, we see that Paul begins to share his testimony by explaining where he once was. He used to have all these trophies. He used to have all these different things that he was able to say, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. But what's so interesting is that Paul wants us to be reminded when he shares his testimony before King Agrippa. He says, I want you to know that I once too was lost. Sometimes I think that we've forgotten that there was a time in our life that we were lost. Let me explain that to you for a second. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, remember formerly you once were dead, far off. Verse 12, it says, without hope. And Paul tells us to remember that you were lost. And here's why this is so important. Because if we forget that we once were lost, then we will look at the lost and be disgusted at them. Oh, I can't believe that they do this. I can't believe that they do that. If we forget that we once were lost too, we will look with pride and arrogance towards the lost. But the Bible tells us that the lost is blinded. It says that Satan blinds the eyes of the unbelieving world so that they do not see the light of the gospel. The scripture tells us that the lost is blinded. But if we forget that we once too were lost, and by God's grace and His mercy, He stepped into our messiness and He reached and he rescued us. If we forget that, then we will look at the lost and we'll be frustrated. But when we remember that we too were just like them, maybe not the same exact sin, maybe not the same exact struggle, but let me tell you something. We were just as dead as they are. We were just as blinded. And the book of John tells us not only were we blinded, but we would do the desires of our father, which was Satan. You say, David, why does the lost come against us as believers? Let me tell you why. Because they're lost and they're deceived. And my heart breaks that they're blinded and deceived by the enemy. And my heart says, I've got to share the light of Jesus with them. Paul tells King Agrippa, he says, hey, listen, I once was a zealot. I once was a religious guy who continued forth to stop the cause of Christianity, to stop the name of Jesus. I was a murderer. I was dead, just like you. Which is why Paul has compassion on the lost, is because he remembers that in his messiness, God reached down. Do we have compassion for the lost? Do we remember that we once too were right there blinded by Satan, doing the desires of the enemy, but God in his mercy reached down and touched us? You know, in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, you don't have to flip there. I'll tell you the parable, and that is of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee said, oh, well, at least I don't sin like this tax collector, and I do all these different things as he's praying. And the tax collector just humbles himself before God. And God says, who truly has been justified today? Who truly has seen repentance? It's the tax collector. But we also can find ourselves like the Pharisee when we don't find compassion for the lost, and our hearts begin to say, well, I can't believe they're walking through this. I can't believe that he's going through that. I can't believe that this person, I can believe it because they're lost just like we were. And so we must understand and realize that we too were like that. Paul then begins to go into Acts 26 and verse 12 and on. He begins to tell us and show us that defining moment in his life. Defining moment in his life. He was on the road to Damascus. And as he's on the road to Damascus, this light comes down. Christ speaks to him and said, Saul, what are you doing? And there, Saul has a transformational moment, a salvational moment, when his life was in one direction and he took a U-turn the other way. Now, as believers in Christ, as the body of Christ, we too, if we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, have a moment in our life when our life was transformed by the glory of God. There's a moment in our life where there's a beautiful collision between our messiness and our sin and our filthiness and God's grace and his mercy and his love. And that beautiful collision comes forth, and what happens is that we become alive. Let me ask you for a moment. Do you remember the time that God reached down in his mercy and his love and pulled you out of the chains and the tyranny and the struggle that we had with the evil one? Think about that for just a moment, body of Christ. Is there a moment in your life when you saw God for who he was and fell on your face before his holiness and said, God, be the savior of my life? That transformational moment happened for Saul on the road to Damascus. It was an incredible moment. We see in Ephesians 2, we see that, but God, rich in mercy, in his great love for us, what he sent Jesus that we may have life. In verse 8, but it is by faith that we have been saved, not of works, so that no man may boast. What an amazing, amazing moment. See, this is why Paul begins to share his testimony. He shares that he was lost just like King Agrippa and just like the Jews who were coming after him. He shares about that transformational moment. And here's the thing, body of Christ, people can argue with the Bible all day long. They can go backwards and forwards and say it means this or it means that. But let me tell you something, they cannot argue with your testimony. They can't do it. They can't argue with it. Nobody can come to me and say, well, David, who you are today is just because you've worked really hard and a good person. The truth of it is that who I am today is because of God's holiness and His great love for me. Nobody can take that away from me. And I will go to my death telling people about Jesus and the transformation in my life. See, Paul wasn't glorifying his past. He was glorifying the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who took him out of his past and raised him up. See, we see Paul sharing about his past. We see Paul sharing about the transformation. Oh, but I just have to read this in verse 18 of 26. But it led him to action, church. Church, it led him to action. It says this, let me go back to verse 16. But get up and stand to your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister, a witness, to not only to things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. In verse 19, King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision and calling. Just speaking very frank, I wonder how many of us can stand before God and say, God, you saved me. But God, I can't say that I've been obedient to the calling. How many of us in this room can stand before God and say, God, I've been obedient to the calling. It's no longer about my comfort. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ that's transformed my life. See, the scripture says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The scripture says that as a bondservant of Christ, we've given our life to the King. It's no longer about the American dream anymore. God is enough, period. It's no longer about trying to protect all the assets in my life. No, it's saying I'm fully on board with the King. Paul says in Philippians, he says, you know, all these trophies that I had gained, all these things that I had, I count as loss. I count as garbage. I count as rubbish. Why? Because Jesus has transformed his life. His life was no longer about himself. It was about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, more than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I've shared with you over the last couple weeks that our calling is not our job. Our calling is take the gospel of Jesus Christ to every street on this earth. That's our calling. You say, David, am I supposed to just go and just walk up to somebody's door and knock on the door? Sure, that's one way you can do it. But listen, God gives us divine opportunities every day. I've quit praying for opportunities, and now I pray, God, open my eyes to see the opportunities that you're giving me. Because I don't believe that I have to pray for opportunities. If God has commanded me to go forth, He's commanded each of you to go forth and to share the gospel. We don't have to pray, well, God, I pray that you will do what you've commanded us to do, that you'll take your part in this. No, we need to say, God, open my eyes. Lord, remove my selfishness that I'm trying to hold all back. Remove the selfishness in me, oh God. And let me see that my life and everything that I have is for you and for your glory, to let people know that Jesus Christ has come for the whole world. You know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved the whole world. You want to know what our mission strategy is? It's a globe. Because God loved the whole world. If somebody dies today without knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will die a sinner's death and they will spend eternity in hell. I can't fathom that. And even Paul says, I preach the gospel to you so that your blood would not be on my hands. Let me tell you something. I'm not holding back anymore. I'm not going to stand before God with blood on my hands. I'm going to share the gospel because that's all that God's called me to do. It's to be transformed by the gospel and let the gospel go forth and be spoken. Man, he takes action. Listen, Paul is in the face of being killed. He's being threatened. He's been placed in jail. He's in chains. And he says, Agrippa, I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to share the gospel with you. I mean, what a powerful statement at the very beginning of Acts 26, verse 2. I consider it my fortune, King Agrippa, that I'm about to make my defense before you today. Paul didn't say, woe is me for the suffering and the persecution that's going on in my life. He said, no, how awesome is this that in the persecution, I get to stand before King Agrippa today. See, he said, it's not about me and about all the stuff in my life. He said, no, it's about the king. And even if I am in chains, I get this opportunity to speak to King Agrippa about Jesus because Jesus is that real to me. I shared last Wednesday night, two Wednesday nights ago, I said, I read out of page 60 of the book Above All by J.D. Greer. And it says this. As he was sharing the gospel with a lady who had never heard of Jesus, she looked at him and she said, you don't really believe that. And he said, I do. Yes, I do. And she said, if you really believe that, if I really believed what you just told me, that all my friends and family members who don't know Jesus are dying and going to hell, I'm telling you, I would be telling them every day and begging them to hear the truth of the gospel. Are we moved to the point of even tears to share the gospel with the world? Paul stands before Agrippa. He gives his past. He shares the transformation. He shares with what God has done in his life since then. But let me just show you at the end of Acts 26, it says this in verse 28. It says, Agrippa replied to Paul, in short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would wish to God that whether in a short time or not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am. Man, Paul had compassion for the lost. He had compassion for the lost. He said, I long for all to hear. Let me tell you, as believers, I know that our longing is for all to hear, but do we take action according to that longing? Do we take action according to that longing? Is it that real in your life? Is it that real in your life? As I shared with you at the very beginning, many people that I taught with after Wednesday night went forth and began to share, and we began to see amazing things start to take place. See, what happened is we began to just see a glimpse of his glory. And we remembered that we once too were lost. We remembered that, listen, that we are to love and have compassion for the lost. They are blinded by the enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. No, we fight against principalities of darkness. Listen, we are here to share the light of Jesus. Matthew 5 says, let your light shine before men so that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. God has called us to share the light of Jesus with the whole world so that their eyes would be open to see Jesus and set free from the deceptive works of the enemy. That's what God has called us to do. He's called us to have that compassion for the lost. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, my heart is breaking. The Lord reminded me. Just a few years ago, we had a severe storm come through the area. I don't know how big of winds it was, but all my patio furniture went flying in the air. The fence was blown down. A dear friend of mine was at my house, and it was late at night, 10:30 at night, and we walked outside to assess the damage. Shingles everywhere. And we looked over at my neighbor's house, and we saw that his ventilation was open, which means that as it continued to rain, the water was going into his roof and beginning to create damage. At 10:30 at night, my dear friend and I walked over and knocked on the door of my neighbor's house at 10:30. And I don't know about y'all, but I was really uncomfortable. Because I'm not going to answer the door real nice at 10:30 at night. Who knows who's at your door at 10:30? And here I am, I'm knocking on the door, and I take 5 steps back. He opens the door, half asleep, looks at me like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Sir, your roof is leaking. The storm that just came through blew your ventilation. You need to go up there and shut it so that it doesn't leak and you don't have damage." At 10:30 at night, I woke up my neighbor because I was concerned for his property. And I never once, the whole time that I lived in that house, I never once shared the gospel with him. And here I am, going to his house at 10:30 at night to protect a roof that in the grand scheme of eternity means nothing. Nothing. But his eternal soul is in the balance. And not one time in all my conversations in the midday with the sun shining, with us in our right mind, not half asleep, did I share the gospel. Not one time. I fell on my face this week as the Lord reminded me of that and just simply repented. God, forgive me for that opportunity missed, and that I would be more concerned about material things than about a man's soul. Paul said, "I've learned how to live in good times and bad. None of that matters to me because God's enough." Paul said, "My goal is to share the gospel, to get to Rome. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. It's not about all this other stuff. It's temporal. It's gonna burn away one day anyways. But the souls of men and women are in the balance. And God is saying, I have called you, David, I've called you, the body of Christ, to share with them the light of Christ. I've called you to share so that their eyes may be open." Paul talks about it in verse 18. I just read it to you. "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God." Let me ask you this question. Do you have compassion for the lost? Because if you don't, hear me out. It's very prideful for us to say, "Thank you, God, for my salvation, but I'm not concerned about anybody else." It's very arrogant for us to say, "God, thank you for dying for me, but I'm not going to speak to another person. But David, I'm fearful." We can give God as many excuses as we want, but let me tell you something. If he's all-powerful, if he's the King of Kings, if he is who he says he is, then none of those excuses matter. None of them. And I'm telling you this, body of Christ, not to preach at you. I'm telling you because I myself am absolutely broken. When I was 21 years old, there was nothing that was stopping me. Do we have compassion for the lost? Do we long to share what God is speaking and doing in us, our testimony? You say, you want to know why it was so powerful? a week ago Wednesday night was because people were simply sharing their testimony, glorifying God for what he had done in their lives. So what's holding us back, body of Christ? Who's your one? Who's the one that you're going to go share this week with? Who's burdened on your heart? If God answered every one of your prayer requests today, how many people would enter the kingdom of God today? If God answered every prayer request for you, how many people outside of your intermediate family would enter the kingdom of God today? Are we on our face before holy God saying, God, it's all you, now use me for your kingdom and for your glory? Give me the compassion that Paul had for the lost. Give me a longing to share with all people. Give me the heart that you have, O God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this, 3 through 4. It says that God desires all men to be saved. It says in verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth? As a little kid, I used to love a game called Freeze Tag. I wasn't real fast, but it was just something to do. And we would get out there and we'd run around and we would tag. And if you got tagged, you were frozen and you couldn't move until somebody came and touched you. And when you were one of the last people left that hadn't been tagged, you had a choice to make. And that choice was, I can run as far as I can to try to save myself until that person gets me. Or I can, with reckless abandonment, run into the midst of all the people and with everything I got, reach out to touch them so that they may be free, that they may be set free. Let me ask you this question. What do you do with your freedom? Do you take your freedom to use to run as far to protect as best you can? Or do you use your freedom like in the freeze tag game that you run into the midst of the people longing to touch as many people as you can to set them free? It's not that you set them free, it's that Christ through you has set them free. Who is God putting on your heart today? What areas of our life, what trophies of our lives are we holding on to that mean nothing in the grand scheme of eternity? All the trophies that we amass in life are worthless, but what we do with the gospel is eternal. What we do with the gospel is eternal. I knew that this would be one of the most choppiest messages I've ever given. But let me tell you something, the Word of God will not come back void. This morning I want to take some time and I just want to fall on my face before God and repent over my comfort. And repent for not going forth and taking those opportunities from my neighbor. And my prayer is that if there's anything in our lives that we're holding on to more than God, that we would lay it down. If we're trying to protect all the things in our life, we would lay that down and say, God, you're the one who's going to protect us. And if we lose our life, it's okay because we're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. What does it gain a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? I pray that each one of you in weeks and weeks to come will ask me, David, who are you praying for? Who are you sharing the gospel with? Who did you have an opportunity this week? And I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to share with you. And I'm also going to look to you and say, hey, who are you sharing the gospel with? May we take the Word of God and the commands that He's given us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. May we take the command of Acts 1:8 that we are to be His witnesses when the Holy Spirit, the power, comes upon us. May we take these commands because of what He's done in our life, and may we have compassion on the lost, and may we realize that without the light of the gospel, they're going to continue to be deceived until they die a sinner's death. May we have an urgency, as my sister said this morning, I can't stop telling people about Jesus. A friend of mine got saved and the next day shared with almost 200 people because he was so overwhelmed with what God had done. May we go back to that moment when God rescued us out of our messiness. Maybe we've come too far, even in my own life, that we've separated that time. We need to go back and say, praise God that you reached down in my messiness. Right there at I-65 and I-10 for me, in my mother's van, when I looked at her and I said, Mom, what's going to happen to me if I die without Christ? And she shared with me the gospel. And right there, Jesus Christ saved my life. We can't be afraid of the political correctness. The world's never going to like what God's doing. Never. Ever. It says that the world hates the Father, so it also hates us. But let me remind you, you can get really mad at the world, or you can get mad at the one who's deceived the world. I'll share this story with you. Many of y'all know that I have been a victim of identity theft many times. And just recently I received a letter from Georgia Tech University saying, David Bullock, your information has been compromised through our system. Big problem. Number one, they lost my information. Number two, I never went to Georgia Tech. So somebody had already used my identity at Georgia Tech, and now it's been stolen again and being used somewhere else. Two things the Lord told me in this. Two things. Number one, you can steal my identity on this earth all you want, but one day you're going to stand before holy God, and it's only you and what you've done. And I tell that to my kids. My kids can't stand before holy God on my identity. And you may be sitting in this room and saying, David, my mother, my father was a Christian, so I'm a Christian. Let me tell you something. That will not stand before holy God. But let me tell you the other thing that happened to me in the midst of this. I was frustrated. I was like, again? Already arrested a guy in Chicago for posing as David Bullock. And the Lord said, David, he or she is deceived. Pray for their soul. Pray for their salvation. God began to move me to compassion for the lost, even though the lost had come against me. Even though the loss had done something that's going to cost time for me to recover. But I began to pray and say, listen, I was right there too. Let me ask you this question. What's holding us back? Is there anything in your life that you're holding on to? I pray that today that you would lay that down. I pray that today you would say, God, I'm going forth for the kingdom of God, and I'm going to share with as often as I can, Lord, show me those divine opportunities. Like I told you when Emmy had her surgery and I saw the nurse who was concerned, I looked at her and I said, I see that you're concerned. Let me pray for you right now. I could have just sat back over here and just said, okay, do your job. No, I was concerned for this person, and I prayed with her, with my wife. We prayed together for this young lady because my heart was burdened for what she was walking through. I pray that we will be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I pray that we will not hold anything back from God, and that we will fall on our face and say, God, use me today just like you did Peter, John, Paul, and the whole body of Christ in the book of Acts. Lord, if we're comfortable, God, I pray you just put us on our face, oh God. And Lord, I pray that we begin to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I'm sure Jesus was uncomfortable on the cross as he had nails between his arms and his wrist. I'm sure there was a little bit of pain and discomfort in that moment. And how dare I tell God, Lord, it's my comfort that I'm holding on to. Jesus stepped down from heaven to earth, Philippians 2, for you and I, for us, and for the whole world. What we do for the gospel is eternal. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to sing some songs. Being very frank with you, how to land this plane right now, all I know to do is to sing to the Lord, to fall on our face, to pray to God, and to ask him to give us an urgency to take what he has done in our lives to the world. I think of that old song as a kid, hide your light under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine.